Good morning. It's Tuesday, January 13th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Midwestern scientists say the Trump administration has brought big changes to their fields in the last year.
It's been really, really tough. I'll be honest, it's been hard and emotional, and it sometimes is really frustrating.
We'll hear about the White House's impact on science in the central U.S. That's coming up after the news. A 32-year-old Wichita man was shot and killed by Sedgwick County Sheriff's deputies Monday morning, KMUW's Meg Britton Mellish reports.
Sheriff's deputies responded around 5:30 to a call of a shirtless man with a gun near 55th Street South and Hoover. Sheriff Jeff Easter told reporters that when the deputies arrived, they found a truck crashed in a ditch and the man standing in the road. Officers reportedly tried to de-escalate the situation for several minutes before the man began shooting at them. The deputy shot back and hit the man several times. Sedgwick County EMS transported the man to a local hospital where he died around 7. Easter says the Wichita Police Department will be investigating the shooting. For KMUW News, I'm Meg Britton Mellish.
Kansas lawmakers returned to Topeka this week to convene their 2026 session. As Jim McLean reports, the competing priorities of an outgoing governor and Republican leaders seeking higher office are expected to dominate the agenda.
This will be the final session for two-term Democratic Governor Laura Kelly. Her top priority is getting agreement on a, quote, sane budget that adequately funds state government. She'd also like to advance a plan to manage the state's diminishing water resources. The legislature's top two Republicans, both of whom are running for statewide office, say their priorities include cutting taxes and spending, possibly slicing millions from state university budgets. A Republican plan to redraw the state's four congressional districts has the votes to pass, but not enough to override Kelly's promised veto of a map engineer to defeat Sharice Davids, the lone Democrat in the state's Washington delegation. In Topeka, I'm Jim McLean.
And KMUW will broadcast Governor Laura Kelly's State of the State address tonight at 6:30. Nearly a dozen Wichita polling places will not be available for the March special election on a proposed 1% sales tax. Many of them are churches or schools that have other activities scheduled for that day. Election officials say finding alternative voting locations will affect about 26,000 voters. It will also increase the cost of the election by $20,000. The increase will cover the cost of sending postcards to affected voters to inform them of the different polling places. The city of Wichita is required to pay for the election, which is now estimated at $170,000. The USDA recently shared more details about how it will dole out $11 billion in one-time payments to row crop farmers. Harvest Public Media's Rachel Kramer reports.
The payment rates are based on the number of acres farmers planted last year, along with estimated production costs and prices for specific commodities. An analysis by the American Farm Bureau shows the Midwest and Corn Belt states will receive over 60% of the funding. Nick Paulson, an agricultural economist at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, says the one-time payments will provide relief to struggling farmers, but it's a short-term fix.
Prices for most row crops have not significantly improved from what farmers are currently dealing with for their 2025 crop, and we don't see production costs declining to the extent needed to get farmers back into the black.
He says crop producers need long-term solutions. I'm Rachel Kramer, Harvest Public Media.
Residents of southeast Kansas and southwest Missouri could soon see a bigger healthcare presence thanks to a newly expanded program from Kansas City University. Noah Taborda reports.
The Kansas City University program will provide an avenue for medical students to train in rural areas with school alumni and other healthcare professionals. Dr. Catherine Satterwhite leads the university's Center for Population Health and Equity. She says the goal is to do more than lecture, but show the value of planting healthcare roots in rural communities.
You can't just create a student interested in practicing rural medicine or dentistry at the very end of their medical training. You have to invest in that student, and you have to invest in the communities that surround that student early.
Rural Missourians often have to travel more than twice as far for hospital care as other residents. I'm Noah Taborda.
In farm country, dense tree cover can be hard to come by, but researchers from the University of Illinois have found more trees that surround rivers and streams are linked to higher biodiversity. Harvest Public Media's Jess Savage reports.
The researchers found evidence of an additional land species for every 10% increase in forest cover. Eric Larson leads the lab that conducted the study.
we detected bobcats that have had a big population recovery in Illinois over the last few decades. We detected bats, we detected box turtles. And I think those kind of benefits to wildlife also have benefits to people.
The researchers collected water from rivers and streams and analyzed any traces of DNA they could find in the samples. The process is called environmental DNA metabarcoding. Larson says the sampling method can be as easy as throwing a bucket on a rope off a bridge, so volunteers or farmers can collect samples to support a wide range of conservation research. I'm Jess Savage, Harvest Public Media.
The Transportation Security Administration has announced it will allow people without a real ID to travel if they pay a fee. Starting February 1st, travelers can pay $45 to use an alternate identity verification system to board flights. The alternate option will allow for a 10-day travel period and can be paid online. A real ID is considered a driver's license that meets federal identity requirements. It's typically marked by a star in the corner. More information is at tsa.gov. We'll be back after this.
Around this time last year, KMUW News Director Tom Schein told us he was planning to retire at the end of 2025. Well, apparently he was serious. So we should probably honor him. Join us for an open house to celebrate Tom on Friday, January 16th. It's 5 to 8 p.m. at KMUW. An RSVP is not required, but if you'd like to let us know you're coming, we'll make sure there's enough food and drink to go around. Sign up at kmuw.org. Hope to see you there.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Fletcher Powell. It's been a year since President Trump came back into office. For many scientists, this has been a year of major changes and uncertainty. The administration cut grants, jobs, and targeted particular subjects. Harvest Public Media's Kate Grumke spoke with scientists throughout the Midwest to understand the impacts.
A pontoon boat loaded with scientific equipment motors across a small lake lined with homes in central Missouri. Scientist Rebecca North is having her perfect day.
I love being out in the field, and we don't get to go out as much as we like.
It's a warm day for winter, but still cold enough that the boat has to break through ice to get to the first test site. North and her team are here to get an overall idea of the health of this private lake. She does this type of work a lot as an associate professor at the University of Missouri. But today, something is different. For the first time, she's being paid by a homeowners association. North lost federal funding for multiple projects last year, so now she's looking for new ways to cover the cost of research.
Currently, for the first time in my, scientific career, I have a GoFundMe or donation button on my website.
She's not alone. Science has changed dramatically in the first year of the second Trump administration, according to interviews with more than a dozen scientists in eight states, mostly in the central U.S. They laid out three big ways things have changed. The Trump administration slashed the federal scientific workforce, canceled thousands of federal research grants, and clamped down on specific subjects like climate change and environmental justice.
It's been really, really tough. I'll be honest, it's been hard and emotional, and it sometimes is really frustrating.
Bonnie Keeler is director of the Water Resources Center at the University of Minnesota. In the last year, she had three major federal grants terminated, totaling more than $14 million. They covered a range of subjects, including Mississippi River water quality and renewable energy. She says the abrupt termination of these projects wasted taxpayer money.
It's a terrible way to end a research project, given no advance warning or opportunity to meaningfully wind down the work.
But in some cases, the work will go on. Outside organizations have tried to fill gaps in the last year, including Climate Central, a U.S.-based nonprofit. Christina Dahl is the group's vice president for science.
So many key parts of the climate and weather enterprise in the federal government have been decimated.
In the last year, Climate Central hired multiple federal scientists who lost their jobs. They also started doing things the federal government used to do, like publishing a list of billion-dollar disasters and holding monthly climate briefings. But Dahl says organizations like hers won't come close to filling the void.
The reality is that even collectively, all of the US-based climate and environmental nonprofits don't have the same capacity as the federal government.
Doug Kluck is one of the many former federal scientists who left their positions in the last year. After 33 years at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, he retired early because he was afraid of being fired and losing health benefits for his special needs son. But Kluck continues to host monthly climate webinars for stakeholders in the Midwest, much like he used to do at NOAA.
Although I've retired, I haven't really quit my job.
He says the last year has been a little like the Dark Ages, but he doesn't think it will last.
You can downplay climate change all you want. You can call it something else. It doesn't really matter. We're all going to be affected by it, whether we like it or not. And I'm not saying this is a belief system. This is a pure science and physics issue.
Trump spokesman Kush Desai told Harvest Public Media in a statement that the American government is the largest funder of scientific research, and the administration is, quote, committed to cutting taxpayer funding of left-wing pet projects. I'm Kate Grumke, Harvest Public Media.
And Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms across the Midwest and Great Plains, including KMUW. Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.